this is supposed to be the most joyful moment in the church each year. This liturgy in which we conclude the Holy Triduum and celebrate our salvation, the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. And yet I can't help but be somewhat sorrowful to look out into this empty church. We have 10 people in here this evening. But one of the things that we learn from the resurrection of our Lord and our faith is that to love Jesus is ultimately to mix sorrow and joy. Consider for a moment what it cost our Lord to give us this joy today. The price was steep. And yet he was willing to pay because of his love for us. And we can be saved, we are saved, precisely because of what he went through over these last few days. How can we not remember the sorrow and even experience it ourselves, because it was our sins that brought it about, while we simultaneously rejoice that because of his love and because of his resurrection, we have hope? On this beautiful evening, we hear at least a few of these readings to remind us of salvation history. It's a mistake to assume that Jesus is just kind of this historic figure, even if he is the Son of God from 2,000 years ago. Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, was preparing the people of Israel for thousands of years before he took on flesh of the Virgin Mary, before he performed the act of redemption. And so we recall that entire history from the creation, when God brought forth from nothing, the universe, all that we know to be, and created Adam and Eve. We remember, of course, their sin, why we needed a Savior. We are reminded, of course, of Abraham and the beautiful sacrifice that God asked of him. And then we concluded the Old Testament with the prophet Ezekiel, who reminded us of how many times the people of Israel would sin against the Lord, how many times they would break their covenant with him, and how many times he would have to punish them and then forgive them so as to try to convert the nations. St. Paul in the epistle always clearly states our relationship with Jesus Christ. On this night, in a particular way, I think it's important for us to consider why our Lord is asking this particular suffering of us as a Catholic people. You can't attend the Holy Liturgies. You're prevented from receiving communion. Why would Jesus be asking this of you? Because he is. It's happening. There are some who think that it's a failure on the bishop's part. They should stand up to the governor or political influence. I don't think it is ours to ever judge our bishops. We should always assume they made the most prudent and wise decision and holy decision. It is ours to humbly obey them and pray for them. Regardless, we know it is the Lord's will that we suffer this at this time. So why would he ask this of us? Well, we can imagine throughout the world, culturally, why God would want to punish us as people in general, because we're all sinners. There's so much sin and evil in the world. But why his church? Why his bride? And if we can't see the sin within the body of Christ, the sin that we bring in as individuals, if we can't see the failings of the members of the body of Christ here on earth, then we fail to recognize that constant need that we have for purification, for redemption. Redemption is not a one-time event. not once saved, always saved. We come to Christ, we receive his grace in baptism, but then we daily seek to follow him and repent of our sins. Our church needs to be purified. And it's my belief that the Lord is going to use this time to separate in his body the sheep from the goats. How many Catholics, lukewarm Catholics, have been sitting on the fence of faith? They go to church, they go to Mass, they receive the sacraments, but they haven't really been trying to draw closer to the Lord. Their prayer life is weak, their faith is weak. This is a testing time for them. They get a free pass. You don't have to go to Mass. Well, after a month, after 2 months, possibly after 3 months of not having to go to Mass, what will they choose when the bishops reestablish that obligation? That's a long time to learn a new habit. I think it will divide them. Many of them will feel that longing, that hunger for Jesus. And their prayer life will strengthen during this time of separation, and when they come back, they'll be ready. And others, they'll enjoy the freedom. When the opportunity comes again to return to Mass, they'll think, no, I'm okay. Those hypocritical Catholics who don't actually believe the church's teaching and don't even strive to live within the sacramental grace of our Lord, they'll just stop coming for the most part. And by this, Jesus will purify the body of Christ. Now, the normal question those of us who strive to love the Lord and stay close to him in the sacraments have is, well, why me? Why doesn't Jesus just punish the bad ones? Again, did you listen to the readings? Do you know the scriptures? It's not like when the people of Israel would sin, all of them sinned. There must have been many virtuous people among them. And yet they were all punished because they were one body. And why does God do that? For the same reason that he asked a sacrifice of Abraham. For the same reason that he offered the sacrifice of his only son. You see, the sinner needs to suffer so that they would be brought to repentance and receive the grace of Jesus Christ. That's why our Lord inflicts punishment on the sinner. But the virtuous need to suffer so that they can intercede for the sinner. St. Paul talks about this so clearly. How many times do you pray for a loved one, a family member, asking the Lord for some special grace of conversion or protection on their part, and then the next day something bad happens to you? The Lord gives you that cross, that suffering, so that you can offer it up for them. Suffering is the means by which salvation is brought about. And we who are united with Christ in his holy body, the church, must therefore share in that same cross and in that same ministry. This is what the saints teach us, that for us, as we grow in holiness, our crosses, our suffering, body, mind, spirit, all of them, ultimately should be our joy. That's what St. Paul reminds you. He says, I rejoice in nothing but the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. This, of course, is a very hard lesson. Most of us are still like children in the faith. And the Lord is always trying to get us to grow, to better understand and to mature in our ability to endure our crosses patiently, but not just patiently, but joyfully. That's the mystery. Our Lord had his mind so fixated on the souls he would save and on his resurrection, that even though he was in agony, it never overcame him or overwhelmed him. All the saints teach us the same lesson following our Lord's imitation. Let us all offer up the suffering that we experience in our separation from our Lord in the Holy Sacraments, uniting it with Christ, but also looking toward the day when this crisis will be over and you will be united with him sacramentally again. Look towards that day. In a temporal fashion, it's like another Easter, the day of redemption, the day in which, in a similar way, you will experience heavenly joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.